for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Praise be to God. Good morning, everyone. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary." July 1st marked the official completion of my first year serving at Calvary. This year has been filled with extraordinary moments of grace. Transition to role as lead pastor, completion of the ordination process that will happen in October, I will be ordained. And then the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. At the end of this year, I was weary. And I am so grateful for the time of rest and renewal during my vacation. A special word of gratitude is extended to Craig, Carol, and all those who served in worship while I was away. And to Janet, of course, for holding down the fort here, as well as Bob. Just much appreciation for this time of rest. Thank you, Calvary Church, for caring for me and my family, and for sharing a larger part of yourself, and for seeking the blessing in the body of Christ. See, when we invite others to do something for us, we offer them the opportunity to give and share. The asking and receiving are just as valuable as the helping and giving. They go together. And this is the way of Christ, who assures us that his yoke is easy and the burden light. So praise be to God. My vacation can be summed up: 3 funerals and a road trip. Probably not a vacation for the average person. As a pastor, life sure takes on a different face. The first funeral happened to be for my dad's sister, my aunt. My family is from upstate New York in a small town called Clayton, Thousand Islands, along the St. Lawrence River. So I went on a road trip with my parents. 6 hours of singing to the 50s and 60s radio stations with my dad. Couldn't convince him to get to the 70s. I returned to the very roots of my family and discovered just how small of a world gave me my start in life. While I was there, I encountered the meditation from this morning emphasizing a wider horizon. I couldn't help wonder how someplace so small could widen my horizon. It did. It broke me open in an unexpected way. I couldn't see how until after my vacation ended, until I had a wider vision. So I had moved when I was 8 down here to Lancaster County in New Holland. Thus, the extent of my contact with my extended family simply culminated in annual vacations and periodic visits. So over the 3 days that we spent there during my vacation and 10-cent tours of the small town, I listened to the long stories of my parents' childhood days and the dynamics of a family I barely know. Even though I may have never met many of the people, their story spoke into my story. The values, the struggles, the patterns of loving and playing and teasing, lots of teasing, were drawn like threads into my own life story. Though I had spent little time growing up with my aunts, uncles, and cousins, they loved me. They were a part of my parents' network of raising and loving me. When we lose sight of this network, when we lose sight of this network, when we deny it, and its positive or negative impacts, then we actually lose sight of the marvel that is God. See, we disconnect ourselves and live in this fallacy of independence and individuality. And we further negate the impact of our touch, or even the lack of touch. It's so easy for us to get lost in ourselves, in our dreams and ambitions, and even images of what love is or is not. Well, the funeral drew me back into this connection, as funerals do for so many. It just so happened that I attended 2 more funerals, and my horizon grew wider as I discovered just how amazing people are. Throughout these funerals, I was blessed with the opportunity to hear about the life of each special person. Suddenly, I saw these people who I knew, but didn't really know, more intimately. See, at a funeral, people gather from near and far, from all aspects of a person's life. They're drawn together to celebrate the beautiful life of one of God's children. And the broad life story is shared, and this big picture is framed. Fond memories are relived. It takes many people, family, friends, co-workers, to break open the beautiful life story, the little quirks and gifts, the unexpected and the obvious spoken out loud. When the spotlight shines on the person in this wide horizon, we discover a remarkable person who has touched many people, blazed a trail of good and faithful works, and shared tears and laughter, struggles and joys, heartache and love. We sit back and go, wow, what an amazing person. So I wonder why it takes funerals to do this, to make us pause and step into the very network of love that is God. I wonder why we don't share ourselves so intimately in our living. And I wonder why we don't seek out people to know them so deeply. Then I read today's text from Matthew, in which Jesus talks to a crowd after receiving a message from the disciples of John the Baptist, who's now in prison. John asks, "Are you the one to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus had just sent his disciples into the mission field, summoning them to cast out unclean spirits, to cure every disease and every sickness, to go to the lost sheep of Israel, and to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near. He instructs his disciples to go to houses, to accept no money, and to anticipate that they will not be welcomed by all. The disciples have been sent. Jesus continues his ministry, and now John is questioning Jesus' identity. Jesus turns to the crowd, and he speaks not to individuals, but he addresses the society as a whole. He declares that this generation fails to understand and respond. "You just don't get it," he said. "And you're just not doing it. They miss the moments that matter." What culture values, in Jesus' word, is wisdom and intelligence, does not matter. God is a mystery that cannot be found in that way. And Jesus praises God for having hidden the truth in this way. Instead, the way is lowly in all the ways that are powerless, like an infant, and call us to a place of codependency. All of our images of power and success and blessings must be surrendered. Jesus calls the people, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What does "come to me" mean? Who is Christ, the one who gives us rest? According to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10, it says, "With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will." He, Jesus, has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. See, Christ is the gathering of all things. We, as children of Creator God, are the body of Christ. "Come to me" is coming to one another, to the fullness of God that is found in community, in what we call church. We know the mystery of Christ through one another, living intimately and connected. This is the wider horizon, the network, the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus sends his disciples into the mission field, into this vast community of people, he encourages them, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. The me is us, a collective. You must surrender your individual vision on life to see clearly the kingdom. Let me interpret this in a contemporary language. Maybe you've already heard Brené Brown in her now infamous TEDx talk from Houston, or read her book, Daring Greatly, How the Courage to Be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead. This has gone viral, people. Brené Brown in her talk has just been a popular and well-known call to people. See, Brené Brown conducted extensive research on shame and discovered that vulnerability, not power, is the place of ultimate transformation. Sounds a little bit like Jesus, right? Her experience as a social worker taught her this. Connection is why we're here, she writes. We are hardwired to connect with others. It's what gives purpose and meaning to our lives. And without it, there is suffering. Also sounds a little bit like Jesus, doesn't it? In researching the anatomy of connection, she calls it, Brown unearthed the most powerful language of shame, the fear of not being worthy of real connection. Those most resilient to shame, who believed in their worthiness, who she calls wholehearted, lived out of the belief that they are enough just as they are. Their lives are defined by courage, compassion, and connection. How? How do we find such courage, compassion, and connection? The catalyst, according to Brown, is vulnerability. This is her bottom line. What we know matters, but who we are matters more. Being rather than knowing requires showing up and letting ourselves be seen. It requires us to dare greatly, to be vulnerable. What we know matters, but who we are matters more. Brené Brown explores how we nurture wholehearted living. Her book challenges cultural norms of scarcity and myths around vulnerability while cultivating a heart for engagement, for connection. She actually defines 10 guideposts that we must cultivate to grow our sense of worthiness. She pairs what we must cultivate with what we must let go, the losing for the gaining. So, for example, to cultivate authenticity, we have to let go of what people think. To cultivate self-compassion, we must let go of perfectionism. To cultivate a resilient spirit, we have to let go of numbing and powerlessness. To cultivate gratitude and joy, we have to let go of scarcity and fear of the dark. To cultivate intuition and trusting faith, we have to let go of the need for certainty. To cultivate creativity, we have to let go of comparison. To cultivate play and rest, we have to let go of exhaustion as a status symbol and productivity as self-worth. To cultivate calm and stillness, we have to let go of anxiety as a lifestyle. To cultivate meaningful work, we have to let go of self-doubt and supposed to. And to cultivate laughter, song, and dance, we have to let go of being cool and always in control. See, all this work happens in community through connections that challenge us to be vulnerable. Such a way of connection takes time to actually learn how to identify our feelings, to let go of perfectionism and fear of judgment, to shed light on our dark places, and to build a trust with others that allows us to share openly, to be vulnerable. Brown's message, though not written through the lens of Christianity, shares the message of Jesus, where one discovers courage, compassion, and connection by surrendering to a life of vulnerability. It's here, when we come weary, carrying our burdens, and rest in Christ, that allows us to develop a deep sense of connection. Friends, many of us come to church on Sundays to worship God, to learn the ways of Jesus. Here we are together as a community. We know people. We smile and hug and inquire about our work and our families. The truth is that the deep connections and the transformation that Jesus calls us to require us to dare greatly, to really become vulnerable. While corporate worship is a source of God's grace, it's also an easy place to hide. It's in the intimate spaces of connection and small groups where we can nurture our spirits with courage, compassion, and connection. Calvary is intentionally engaging this community in the development of small groups. It's at the heart of our human longing to connect. And it's at the heart of what Jesus teaches us. Our goal is to help everyone find a place of connection. Our hope is that in knowing others more deeply, we too will be transformed by their witness and love. Maybe we don't need to wait until a funeral to get to know somebody really well. In this chorus of voices, may we discover that not only do we not walk alone, but that the true purpose and meaning in life is to connect with one another. We must dare greatly to share our most vulnerable self. I want you to consider these questions earnestly. How well do you really know the people in your church family? What are you intentionally doing to build connections and widen your view? May all praise and glory be to God. Amen. And now we turn to some special music, a recording by Parker Dietrich, Ode to Joy.